Good morning. I have resisted. I spent time yesterday, late evening, looking at my John Wayne book of cowboy jokes. And I was going to come here and ruin about 8 of them, but decided discretion's the better part of valor. So we will not be doing that. But we're going to be in our Sunday school. Now we've gone through Old Testament. We've gone through the Gospels, learning about the life of Jesus. This morning we are going to be starting in the book of Romans. Okay, so if you could turn to Romans chapter 1. Your memory verse for this morning, and I always double check myself. I go over and I talk to Aiden Johnson. Okay, because he has them out and he copies them. He has a sheet that he studies all week long. And again, it's therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 3:28. That's important because we live in a day and age, you know what people do? They compare themselves. All right? And our Bible teaches us those that compare themselves with themselves among themselves are not wise. I don't measure up because the measurement is Jesus Christ. That's why he went to the cross. That's the thing I've talked to people on the street corner, different times I witness to them, and they say, well, I'm better than, or I'm a good man, or I'm a good woman, I'm a good person. I haven't killed anybody. I love that as a standard. We've all felt like doing it sometimes, but, okay, we haven't done it, okay? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And as we go through this, I want you to look at the book of Romans and think about this. It's like the Apostle Paul is standing at the bar, and I don't mean the alcoholic bar. He's standing before the judge of heaven and earth. And he is pleading a case. And what we see is the case is we are guilty without Jesus Christ. Amen? It's to teach us that we are justified by faith and not by the deeds of the law. If a man keep the whole law and offend in one point, he is guilty of what? All. So when you look at somebody and they don't look like that, a person that you want to be around and you're trying to avoid, they need the gospel. And you need Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. And I've always looked at this. You know, most Baptist church, Presbyterian, man, I don't care. If Jesus Christ walked in and they didn't know who he was, they'd stay away from him. If the Apostle Paul came in and you know his legal history, they'd avoid him. Do you realize that? The man God used to give us over half of the New Testament would not be accepted. Isn't that amazing? Because when you're in Christ Jesus, it says you're accepted in the... Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a... Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's how I know there's hope for me. That's how I know heaven is secured for me. Not because of me, but because of him. And again, therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith and not by the deeds of the law. You can't earn it. And I say that because I spent time ministering to somebody yesterday. He's a pastor friend. And I looked at him. He's going through an issue, and we talked through this different thing. And I said, you still struggle with acceptance. He's a pastor of a healthy church. He's going through some things. And he'll think that maybe God's going to punish him for what he used to be. You know what God says? He doesn't know my used to be. Amen? Do you get what I'm saying to you? He doesn't know your used to be. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he used to be? No. He is a new creature. See, because God sees you from your conception to either your passing in death physically or the rapture is right now. He, before Abraham was, I am. Who shall we tell them have sent me? What shall we tell them who has sent me? Moses asked the question, and what was God's answer? That was Jesus speaking to him. I am that I am. Amen? That's so far beyond my understanding. It's beyond yours. It takes faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we need to hang on to that. The just shall live by faith. And we're going to be looking at this morning. And our memory verse, it's a conclusion that man is justified by faith without morality, without or trying to keep the law. I have a family member who, my dad was very good in a lot of things, and he was very bad in others. And the world saw him as a good man. In his family, my father, I love him. He was a serial adulterer. He learned it from his father, who learned it from his father. The chain got broken with my brother and I. Okay? And I have a message called Things My Father Taught Me. But he didn't teach me how to be a faithful Christian. And there's priests in my family background. He got saved late in life and wished he'd gotten saved earlier, because then he still would have been with my mother. Plain and simple. But people look at him and they go, that's a good man. He keeps care of his family. He's this and this. He's taking care of that. He was a supervisor for years with a high school education. Did really well. Didn't have college. It can hold you back at a certain point. They won't keep advancing you. Okay. Paid the bills. Made sure we were fed. We had a roof over our head and the bills were paid. Clothes on our back. Never went hungry. Matter of fact, because of my mother, they fed half of the north end of Fairhaven. That's why 250 people would come to her 80th birthday party and all called her mom. My dad said the best part of me outside of Jesus Christ after he got saved was your mother. Not justified by the works of the law. Not justified. We are justified by faith without what? Works. It is not performance Christianity. It's acceptance Christianity. And when you accept somebody and you love them, you know what they want to do? They want to rise to the level of the love that you show. That doesn't mean you overlook sin. My mother loved me dearly. I would have things with my sisters, used to kid all the time, and I had an adult sister, even as adults, before my mom went home to be with the Lord. All I had to do to get her wound up is, as you know, Mom loved me best. She loved me more than you. She did not. Back and forth. And of course, my sister, who's just a year older than me, she says, because Mom had a place in her heart for special needs children. That's why she loved you more. All right? But you know what I learned from my mom? I was accepted in the beloved. And she used to look at me, and my wife had to learn it from her. She'd say, James, because I knew I was in trouble when I wasn't called Bryant. I was called by my first name. It was, James, I love you, but you're better than that. So what'd she put first? the love, and then the expectation of that love. As I preach on Wednesday nights, this coming Wednesday, we're going to be looking at part of 1 Corinthians 13 again. We'll be spending time on beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So the theme as we start this is justification by faith. That's why you want to lead someone to the Lord. That's why they put the Gospel of John, the greatest of the New Testament books that teach the deity of Christ, and the book of Romans together. Because Romans teaches that you are justified by faith without the works of the law. That's why we give out John and Romans. That's why they do on the mission field. You can bring someone to Christ. They got to understand that he's not just a man. He's not just a lesser God. He is God the Son. And you can't earn it. So you need to accept it. No greater love hath any man than this, but that a man down his life for his friends. But God commendeth his love towards us, and while that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Greater love than any man's love is God's love. Okay. To understand that without faith in Christ, we have no justification. Jesus is our only source of justification. I feel kind of naked this morning, and I don't mean that in a physical sense. I mean, John and Denise aren't here this morning. All right? And you say, why is that? Because they bathe me in prayer. They bathe Pastor Kenny in prayer. They've been prayer warriors in this church for oh so long. Okay? So their seat is empty. I don't know if they're camping, they're sick, or whatever. I haven't talked to them yet. I'll check on them. But they're not here. Okay? The book of Romans teaches us that Paul is the apostle to the Romans. As Peter was to go to the Jews, Paul went to the Gentiles. Acts 23 and verse 11, and that night following the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou also bear witness. See? So must thou bear witness also at Rome. He knew where God was sending him. Probably this happened during that 3-month stay at Corinth around that time. That's how the gospel got to Rome. The gospel made its way to Rome through believers who came back from Pentecost. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying there's Jewish proselytes who came to Jerusalem to worship. Acts chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us is that as we see the Holy Spirit coming upon them in Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, it says here, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue, wherein we were born? People mess up tongues so much, it's not the topic, but I want you to understand. They spoke, and everyone heard them in their what? It didn't like one spoke Italian, and the next spoke Yiddish, and the other one spoke Parthian, and the other one spoke Greek. They spoke, and the miracle of the Holy Spirit is they all heard them in their own tongue. Did I read that wrong? Behold, are not these all speak Galileans, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They got presented the gospel of Jesus Christ. They went back to Rome. They were excited because you know what they found out? That was Jewish proselytes and Jewish people. They could not earn it. They did not have to earn it. And they were made free. in Jesus Christ. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So that takes us to there. And there was no established congregation set up yet when Paul goes there. Let me see here. Romans 15. I'll get to the actual text in a minute. Romans 15. What you find, let me see, verse 20. This is the Apostle Paul. Paul's job in his location. So have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. The believers went back, they started witnessing. We've had a missionary to Papua New Guinea who went back home out in the Northwest and couldn't find a good, strong, Bible-believing church. People drive a lot farther sometimes out west to go to churches. All right? You don't think about that, but, you know, it's nothing for them to drive. He turned around and there was no church. He started a Bible study in his home. He didn't want a pastor. He ended up going to the mission field out of this, but he started a Bible study. He got so many people coming to the Bible study, he says, we need to get somebody to be a pastor. And he said, you've been running the Bible study, you're it, buddy. He'd graduated Bible school 20-some-odd years before that. Was a construction company owner. That church is now pastored by Mike Sherry out west. The believers went there. They're witnessing. People are getting saved. And it's one of the reasons why Paul was excited to try to get to Rome to expound to them a more perfect way. Do you know there's a protection in being part of a local church that believers don't have outside of that? Now, the people on the internet would like you to believe you can get everything you need off of YouTube, but you can't. And you can't be obedient to the call of God and to missions off of YouTube. I've seen believers, they get mad, they leave a church, they don't get attached to another church. They get hurt. You know what? You go to a church long enough, you know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to hurt you. You understand that? It could be me. It could be Pastor Kenny. It could be a deacon. It could be a pastor's wife, a deacon's wife. It could be somebody in the congregation who just looks at you and says, hey, you're cross-eyed. Because we're human, right? And we put self so many times ahead of him. But you are multitudinally more blessed being in a congregation than being by yourself. I find it interesting. There's a funeral coming up for a man I ministered to at the end of his life. Helped him get assurance of his salvation. Hasn't been in a part of a church for years. The funeral director is doing his funeral. There'll be friends there. Saved man. But you know what he lacked? As he came to the end of his physical life, people to help bear his burdens. You know what a church is supposed to do? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that brings us to today's lesson. Now I got to rush. Romans chapter 1. We look at this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be what? You either is or you ain't. Okay? There's no test to give me sainthood other than the fact that I'm in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, he goes on, he does his introduction, and then he tells them, verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren. I got a message about that. You can look for the places where it says, I would not have you ignorant. Get a lot of doctrine where God's trying to tell you through the different epistles, don't be ignorant. Okay? Ignorant is not stupid or unable to learn. Ignorant is unknowing. My Bible tells me if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. If he wants to be ignorant, you're not changing that, okay? But that's not how God wants you to be. I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks, the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. Inasmuch as in me I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. How many? Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then it talks about the wrath of God coming down on unsaved people, ungodly people, because they hold the truth in unrighteousness, because they reject what may be known of God. You cannot look at the sun rising in the morning and the moon setting at night every day of your life and think that's an accident. There's order to the universe. If there's order, then there has to be someone who ordains that order, because the first law of thermodynamics teaches you that things deteriorate. They go to disorder. My body, my wife's body, we're going to disorder. It doesn't work the way it used to. The bearings are wearing out. You know, my connective tissues, my gaskets, right, Walter? The gaskets aren't working the way they're supposed to work. Okay? But that's not how it is in Christ Jesus. They wouldn't acknowledge God. They can't build a pump as perfect as what God put in a person's chest. I'm talking the physical heart, not your emotional, spiritual heart. They wear out faster. They can't build one like that. As they try, it doesn't work. So they try to take them from other animals. And guess what? Other animals don't live as long as us, so it doesn't work the same. It can delay, all right, and that's good. It can give time. That's not a problem. That's not wrong. But it's not the same as that one that developed within your mother's womb and continued to grow until you're about 20, 21. Yes, men, and then it starts downhill. Okay, so have this. So you turn around and God reveals himself to every person through conscience and creation. Look at verses 19 and 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things from him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? So conscience means knowledge, a sense of right and wrong, and the source of guilt. We have that. Creation, that's all that God has made. It tells us that there must be, you can't look at what is around us and not see order. It's not happenstance or accident. It's intelligent design. And then man has rejected God. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord. This is Ephesians 4:17. and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance, see, God doesn't want you ignorant, that is in them because of the blindness, not of their eyes, but of their heart, what they set their affections on, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, that's inordinate affections that control you, people whose emotions and desires control all the choices, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. See, man did not glorify God. Man was unthankful, and he became arrogant. We think we are the ultimate of evolution, and when we realize that through life that we're not, then we have to believe that there's someone out there in outer space that we're going to have to fight against who's evolved more than us. But by just the inordinate gusto in man, we are going to defeat him. Or we're going to have a superhero who's like the gods, come to feed him. Anything other than God who became man, who paid the price for me and gave his life, and now intercedes for me. That's Romans chapter 1. Man began to worship and give glory to God's creation instead of God, the God of creation. That's 23 through 25. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, the birds, four-footed beast and creeping things. Go to India, they worship everything but sheep. They eat them. They worship 3,300,000 plus gods and goddesses. If it wiggles, they worship. In the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's why they don't like killing bugs. That's fun to watch. When they get saved over there, they can finally kill those stinking bugs. That's Nilgo's version, okay? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and served the creature more than creator, who is blessed forever, amen? For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even did their women change the natural use into that which was against what? That likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving into themselves the recompense of their error, which is meat. In other words, it cost to do that. I've had someone say, you can't show me anywhere in the Bible where God's against homosexuality. And I said, I can show you multiple places. You're willing to read them. But I don't sit there and look at a homosexual and go, you are so horrible. Get away from me. I'll say, Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You need Christ Jesus. That is sin. It will cost you. Sin always costs you. And then you look at the background of why most people ever turn their own numbers. 87% of them have been abused or molested. Their own numbers. Do you hear me? You don't condemn little kids when they're hurting, do you? They need Jesus Christ. It can transform them. Can it transform you? Do you ever attempt to fall back into the same temptation you got saved from? This is where the rubber meets the road, people. What is your gospel worth? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen? They elevate the worship of man. They worship animals. They perverted God's truth. They go to the theory of evolution. And the result is God withdraws himself from them. Or they turn their back and they can't see him. Chapter 2, so we see first, common man is a sinner. You with me? You agree in that point? Common man is a sinner. Chapter 2, religious men are sinners. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. For we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, the forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God, not the goodness of me, the goodness of God leadeth thee to what? Full understanding. That's not, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. That is, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm guilty. Please forgive me. There's a difference, isn't there? Little kids go, I'm sorry, please. Used to be, I don't want to spank it. I want the timeout. Now it says, I'm sorry, please don't take away my phone. I can't live without my phone. My computer? You're going to make me stupid. No. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, not depart from it. The old paths are still the best way. You don't understand it, you want to talk to me about it, ask me later. Discipline not done properly with love teaches them that there can be restoration and forgiveness. You ever notice when you discipline a kid and you take something away from them, they've lost the understanding of why you're doing that after about the first or second day? Because they live day to day, moment by moment. If they've been good for a week, they think it's a lifetime. Well, I haven't done it in a week. How come? How come? Because I like torturing you. Religious men are sinners. Look at chapter 2, verse 17. Behold, thou art a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knoweth his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident thou thyself are a guide to the blind, and light to them which are darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge in the truth of the law. Isn't that amazing? They boast themselves in the rituals keeping law, but there's no salvation in law because no one can keep it. James 2:10. Now we're coming back to Romans chapter 2. James 2:10. It's always better when you give people scripture verses, isn't it? Because then it makes it about them having to deal with Jesus. For whosoever, James 2:10, whosoever should keep the whole law yet offend in one point, he is guilty of what? All. Okay, religious man, he's guilty. There's no salvation in religious denomination. For where there is no respect, there is no respect of persons with God. I don't care what title you want to put on it. Where are you with Jesus? Amen? There's only salvation in spiritual birth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must be born again. Born again. And it's caused because there's a circumcision of the heart. Romans chapter 2 and verse 29. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not of the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. It's not an outward thing, it's an inward thing that ends up emanating from inside to the out. So, chapter 1, common man's a sinner. Chapter 2, religious men are sinners. Chapter 3, all men are sinners. Whosoever committeth sin, transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3 and verse 4. We're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, the case is being laid out there. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, even in death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I think it makes it clear, doesn't it? My measurement's Jesus Christ. It's not everybody else. Trying to keep the deeds of the law will not help you to get to heaven. You can't be justified that way. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in sight, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 3:20. You see the case being laid out? Man needs justification. To be justified means to be declared righteous in that court. And this is the court of God. So it's righteous by God. Justification. I first heard this when I came to Emmanuel. It wasn't Emmanuel. It was Calvary Baptist Church in Fairhaven. And I heard Pastor Christian preach. And one of the first times he preached, he said, "I am justified. Just as if I'd never sinned." Justified. Justified. Never sinned. Man is declared righteous, justified, when he puts his faith in Jesus Christ for his salvation. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. See, the case is being played out. Repenting and from trusting the law or anything else. You can't trust in water baptism. You can't trust in taking communion. You can't trust in being a member of a church, of being religious. You have to trust in Christ. Philippians chapter 3, turn there. You want to learn how to lead people to the Lord? Spend some time in the book of Romans. It'll answer their questions. What does God say about it? Okay? Philippians chapter 3. Chapter 3, okay. Philippians chapter 3. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul is giving you his bona fides. If you're going to make it by appearances and the outward thing, Paul's better than you and me. All right? Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, the strictest sect of the Jewish religion. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, as touching righteousness, which is of the law. How many of us could say this? Blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted as loss for what? For Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto what? His death. Chapter 1, common man's a sinner. Chapter 2, religious man's a sinner. Chapter 3, all are sinners. Chapter 4, an illustration, the example of justification by faith alone. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. See, they're making a comparison for us to help us to look and see how someone is made righteous through that. Okay? Look at verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? Righteousness. Look at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If Genesis 15, we're going to turn there in a moment. Okay? But what you have in Romans chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, it tells us that Abraham believed God, and at that moment God declared him righteous. What did he believe? Was he shown Jesus Christ? Not according to the God, not according to the Bible. He was brought before God. God had him come before him. He looks up at the heavens and he says, "Can you count them? Can you count the sand, seeds on the beach?" He's pointing to the greatness of even creation, which is nothing compared to God. And he says, "I'm going to make thee father of many nations. Your wife, who's well past the age of bearing children, is going to conceive. Even at that time, she was past it. You realize, eternal youth, have children. I don't think so. It may help you physically, women, in your body as you're gestating and having the child. Once the child is born, they age you. And Patty's going, uh-huh. They age you. All right? Okay. Miracle of God. She's 90 years old. He's 99. That's a miracle of God. Okay? He believed God. It was imputed to him with righteousness. It was put to his account. This came by faith alone. Watch. Turn to Genesis 15. Coming back to Romans, because we only go through chapter 5 and we're done for today. Genesis 15. God brings Abraham out in verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And then what does Abraham respond to him? Verse 6. He believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. What did he believe? What God said. What God said. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Today we believe in Jesus Christ for justification. That's what our faith has to be on. Now it was not written for his sake alone, Romans 4, verse 23, that it was imputed unto him, but also for us also, whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our what? Just as if I never sinned. Saint James. Listen to that, Jude. Saint James. Okay. Makes me special. He's made us priests and kings. Amen. It's faith without works. You know why it's faith without works? So your only boast is on the one who's the object of your faith. It's not in none of ourselves. James chapter 2, we're coming down to the end. You believe that? James chapter 2. See here. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Well, contradict. See, James says it's about works. No. If you look at the context and you read it, at verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. And show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. God sees outside of the works. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward, but God looketh upon the heart. Abraham, before he was justified by works, according to James, when he offered up Isaac, says he would believe God was counting him for righteousness in Genesis 15. After that, he offered his wife twice to two different men. Great example of living by faith? No. But the work had already been done by God. The outward appearance of it came. You still with me? In James, it says, I'll show you if you show me. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered of Isaac his son? Look at verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect, made mature, complete. It's what we see, not what God sees. He's already seen us in the I am, in the present. James is talking about what we see. Romans is talking about justified before who? Before God. Don't let them twist it on you. It's not a contradiction. We know Abraham was justified before Isaac. One was justification was before God, spiritual eternal justification. One justification was before mankind. It was visual. Because in men, seeing is believing. That brings us to chapter 5. Verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Verse 2, by whom we have access by faith into this grace by where we stand and, and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Continuing access into that grace. Hope rejoices in the glory of God. Verse 3, not only so, but we also glory in tribulations. Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patient experience, and experience what? Hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We glory in tribulations. Tribulation worketh patience, what God will bring you through. Patience experience, what God brings you through. And experience hope. God brought you through. He'll bring you through again. Amen? And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts of the whole, in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Are you getting it? God won't keep you from something that He'll bring you through in the thing that gives Him the most glory. But He always works out of His holiness and His love. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. When you know God loves you, that you don't have to work for it, you'll want to please the one who loves you that way. Chapter 1, common man is a sinner. Chapter 2, religious men are sinners. Chapter 3, all men are sinners. Chapter 4, what it means to live by faith alone. Chapter 5, enjoying the blessings of justification. God will be with you as you go through it, that He might get glory when He delivers you. And all God's people said, amen. Take a break.